Mackin.
Over.
Roger. So we're pulling away from it, huh?
Yes, indeed. And are you all making plans to consume any food before turning in this evening? We don't see it in the flight plan.
I didn't mean we won't do it because he left it out of the flight plan.
If we get hungry, we're going to eat, over.
Listen, there's no place in the flight plan to put snacks either, but that's what we've been doing.
Roger, the motivation for that is that Deke is sitting down here at the console and he says he's hungry.
Deke must have been using that extra genie, over.
Tell him, see if he can find a good candy bar out there in the...
No, he's only going to eat if you all eat.
Okay, well, we've consumed most of it up through, starting on day six. We're about on meal B of day six, and we have about two meals that are not consumed out of that total, over.
Todd, you understand?
Also, tell Deke he's really missing something if he doesn't combine that water, that food with water that's filled full of gas, because that's really a thrill, over.
Roger.
Hey, Bruce, that star landmark, we never did any of that in the simulator, and we never had any way to practice it. And all we've ever done is Star Rising. And, but my opinion of that as a task is far easier than Star Rising. It would probably be just the way to go for a no-com nav case. You could pick a couple of good sites on the world, which, like out there in Arabia and Baja California, usually always open. Why, it would be a good way to go.
All right, you would copy that. And we're still working on reducing the data from your sightings.
I would think it'd be more, at least as accurate as Star Rising. The stars, at this point, the brighter stars, like... Arcturus and Spica filled up the entire crater, so it was really no problem. The smaller stars, the Nebula, Geni, and Geni, they didn't quite fill up the whole crater, but it was so so easy to put those things in there and make a mark that it's just no task.
Roger, I understand that Geni was bright enough against the background to be used for marking. Is that correct?
Sure was.
Roger.
And waiting, standing by for your go on the TV. Over.
Ken, this is Houston. Roger, we'll let you know in a minute. Ken, this is Houston. We're go for TV now. Over.
Okay, we'll be coming your way in about 30 seconds.
Roger.
Houston, this is 10. Are you seeing the TV?
Negative 10. It's not coming through the network yet.
Okay, it should be on the way.
Roger. Roger, 10. We're receiving your signal now. Looks like you're showing us the moon. Roger, 10, we've got you now on the monitor. It's coming in very clearly, a very good picture, not much noise at all on the loop, and the color looks like it's in pretty good shape also, over. Ten, this is Houston. We're getting a good picture now, over. Ten, this is Houston. At the present time, we're getting good TV, but no downlink voice right now, so stand by. This is Houston. At the present time, we're getting good TV, but no downlink voice right now. So stand by. Roger, 10 is Houston, reading you loud and clear on the voice now, and a clear TV signal, over.
Okay, the moon and the Earth are the same relative size to us now. The planet Jupiter is easily visible, about five diameters from the moon. We can see stars within 6 diameters of the moon. Anything within that is washed out. The Maria areas are very easily visible, the Sea of Fertility, the Sea of Tranquility, where the basic landing sites are, Sea of Serenity, are the two large Maria areas to the center bottom right of your screen as you approach the Terminator. I don't know whether you heard me the first time, but the moon effectively to us is upside down. The North Pole is at the bottom, the South Pole at the top. The east is the most rounded area to the left, and the west goes towards the Terminator. We're actually pointing in the heavens towards the southern stars.
Houston, Roger.
The moon with the naked eye and through our monocular, we can still see very vividly some of the most important landmarks. We can see Apollo Ridge, which we crossed over and used as a basic IP for our approach to landing site 2. We can see some of the smaller craters that surround our landing site area are clearly visible to us yet at this time. And I might add that the moon from this position is quite an awesome sight. I hope that this picture has given you the detail, the resolution that we see with the naked eye here.
Roger, we're getting very good resolution on the black and white monitor here at the console. And I guess we all wish we could be up there with you looking at it firsthand.
Well, Jack, you and the folks that are seeing us are watching us leave the moon, and we're moving away, as you see this picture, Bruce, at about 3,500 miles per hour. So if the picture looks like it's getting smaller slowly, it really is.
Roger, Gene.
Let me take you over, Bruce, to show you the Earth from Tom's window.
At this time, you should have the Earth coming through on your set down in Houston, over.
Roger, we've got it.
Okay, Houston, Apollo 10, we're looking at the Earth on our left window. We're now approximately 168,000 miles on our return journey to the Earth. And again, relative to the Earth, we're traveling approximately 3,500 miles an hour. At this distance, as Gene has described, the Earth and the moon look approximately of the same diameter. And as we look at it here, the Earth has grown from, say, slightly smaller than a tennis ball, where it looks about the size of an orange. As you can see the Earth there, actually it's upside down with the white cap is the North Pole. And since most of you watching your TV sets can't turn upside down very easily, what I'm going to do is turn this camera over upside down since it's no trouble for us. See if that will work. Okay, there we go. It's pretty easy for us to go upside down and right side up. As far as attitude, it makes very little difference except for a maneuver. And so, requiring all of you people to stand on your head to recognize the great state of California out there, I'll just turn this upside down in my hand. As we look out there, we can see the Terminator. It has definitely crossed over into the Arizona area. And Baja, California is barely discernible. You may not be able to see it due to the cloud cover. Also, it looks like we have some clouds all the way up to Los Angeles. It may even be smoggy out there today. Up towards Seattle, Washington, looks like some cloud cover. And the North Pole still has that same complete coverage as northern Canada over into Russia, the same cloud coverage that we have observed all the way on our trip out from Cape Kennedy starting last Sunday. It's a very beautiful, beautiful view as we start our return visit, journey there to the Earth. And we do have a great attitude for seeing it all the time. As we slowly rotate going back home to the Earth, we'll have the Earth out one window and then the Moon out the other and later on the Sun. At this time, again, you can see that the majority of the features are strictly clouds. The blue you see down near the bottom of your screen there is the lower South Pacific Ocean down towards the Galapagos Islands. How's your picture, Houston? Over.
Coming in beautifully, Tom.
Roger.
A good relative size for both the Earth and the Moon. Tom mentioned one. Another one might be if you took a nickel and held it about 18 inches from your eyeball. That's what the size of the Earth, the diameter of the Earth, and the diameter of the Moon appear to us at the present time.
All right, Roger. Understand this tennis ball at arm's length.
It's more like a nickel at arm's length for the average eyeball.
Roger.
The tennis ball is good size, just looking at it at a distance, but in a correlation, it would be to that. And how's the color coming through? Mostly whitish clouds to the right of the set, and a darkish brown in there towards the California coast and the blue down in the South Pacific, over.
Roger, the color is coming in here with high fidelity.
Sounds great. Okay, Houston, we're going to take you inside the cockpit for just a couple of minutes here. Over.
Roger. Okay, we've got the interior scene. Looks like you're looking at the dosimeter, the radiometer there. Dan, this is Houston. We're not getting very much illumination. Is that John at the nav base?
Roger.
We can make out the wall of the spacecraft clearly there, but as for John's back, it's pretty well shadowed right now.
Okay, John's using the optics in a rather unorthodox fashion right at the moment. He appears to be upside down. Just a second. I'll see if I can turn him right side up for you. Okay, now we have John right side up, but the spacecraft is upside down. We've still got a problem here. Stand by. I guess we'll just have to accept the spacecraft right side up and John upside down. Here he comes.
Okay, that's a lot better.
That's what the average space navigator looks like after 543 marks.
You can observe the patch over one eye to help him adapt.
Uh, Roger, you really got us all broken up here down in the motor.
Well, you might think it was some ancient pirate, but actually this is what the modern-day space navigator looks like after all the marks that he's been taking. He's done a fantastic job on determining the altitude of the moon's surface and shooting all the star sightings. Over.
You can see John's star chart above his optics right there, and above that are some of the codes that are used to operate the computer, the guidance computer on board.
Roger.
Okay, this is what happens to the optics in zero gravity. Once you start a screw or a bolt turning up here, it just keeps right on going forever. Just absolutely no friction associated with operation of moving parts. That's why we have to stick everything together with glue. And since they've been rotating like this, I've lost both of them at least once. And you don't think it's hard for a one-eyed guy to find something like this when it's running around the cockpit. You're not with it.
I'll back off and show TP here.
Okay, we've got Tom on the screen now. Ten, this is Houston. Tom's voice isn't coming through.
As you can see, all of us have grown a little bit of a beard in the 6 days since we left Cape Kennedy. It's been a fantastic voyage out here. And it's certainly been a sight, and we hope we've been able to share a part of it with you by sending back some pictures.
Roger, and they've been some very impressive pictures, too.
Again, just like we showed you one time before, once you're in zero gravity and you're adapted to it, it makes no difference whether you're right side up or upside down. And we have been floating all over the cockpit doing chores, making attitude maneuvers, shooting stars, as you can see John there. And we'll say we feel in really great health. In fact, we felt great ever since we climbed aboard the Saturn V rocket on Sunday. And we're certainly looking forward to return to the Earth, and I think we'll be about as healthy when we return as when we left. Over.
Roger.
Here you see a pair of our scissors that we opened the food with, just slowly floating. Okay, we'll go over to the right side of the cockpit, and here's Gene Cernan. Right now, Gene and John are vying for the basic contest of who's growing the best mustache.
MedSec, this is how we take targets of opportunity. This has been a great trip so far. We worked hard, but it's been very challenging and very rewarding to us as a team here, and I hope to our team down there, because we couldn't be where we are if it wasn't for all you guys down there, and we really appreciate it.
All right, Lieutenant, I'll pass it on to everyone here in the Moker and on the other shifts, and I guess it goes without saying that we admire the fine performance that you all have turned in up there.
Thank you, Bruce. It's really been great. That pass down to the lunar surface at 50,000 feet in the rendezvous, and then shooting the top part of Snoopy around the sun, and all the landmark tracking and viewing the moon as we saw it, and also that climb out this morning as we left the moon. That's something you just won't ever forget. And it was so fantastic that we just wanted to share it there with you. Over.
Roger.
Here you see Gene turning around a flashlight that's turned on. Now, one thing we use in the spacecraft, because we do have the bottom of zero G, is some material called Velcro. And here you'll see Gene putting a light on one of the knobs. And John is also putting a pencil there. In fact, with just one small piece, he can hold this whole camera that we have. It's only less than 1 inch square, but yet it has the cohesive force to hold the desired object to the surface. We're going to end our TV cast now by again just showing you the Earth and the Moon for one quick glance, and Gene will take the camera and point it out to the Moon.
Ten, this is Houston. Is there anything we could see in the vicinity of the tunnel regarding condensation or anything up there?
Now we'll take you up in our tunnel there. We got a lot of gear stored in it.
Looks like Snoopy up there to me.
You better believe that might be a part of Snoopy.
Okay, you're looking at the edge of the hatch. There's the hatch handle right there. The basic mechanism of the hatch handle mechanism that opens. Now, if you can see it, there's condensation all over there. It's all wet, and right up there under the tunnel vent lights around the seal is drops of water and condensing out. Can you see that water on a tube? Does it show up on a monitor? And there's condensation on the walls of the tunnel as far down as the top of the top of the hatch surface. But there's very little electrical wiring in the tunnel, so we're not really worried about that.
Roger, we can't make out much in the way of water. We can see a little bit of glistening occasionally. That's about the size of it.
That's it. Well, there's a thin film of drops all over the hatch, and
right there. Roger, we caught something there.
Can you see that?
Roger.
That's the same type of film. It's all over the hatch and the tunnel walls. Saw a lot on the on a pressure equalization valve. Look at it right there.
Roger.
bright shiny spots are water. And like I said before this morning, it's 20 degrees cooler in a tunnel. Very nice up there. The pressure equalization valve is covered with water. Well, every piece of equipment in there, particularly the steel pieces are around the rim, the seal, and pressure equalization valve are covered with a thin film of water drops. And you can see some even on the hatch mechanism. Can you see the alignment arrows?
Yes, that's
that you used to align the hatch with?
Right, the alignment arrow comes through nicely. In fact, we could read, I guess it was gearbox disconnect a few minutes ago.
Roger. This hatch weighs about 80 pounds, a little better. And in 1G, and in it with the a man, it has very great difficulty positioning this thing and installing it and locking it by himself. And zero gravity, it's extremely easy to manipulate and operate, and it was even easy to wrestle it by these hoses the other day, which we had to take it out, put it in two or three times while we were checking out the lunar module, which was attached just above this hatch. But it was a piece of cake to haul it in and out.
Reports like that are good news for our AAP package handling problems.
I didn't see it. I didn't say it'd be easy for AAP, Bruce.
I don't believe you can see it, but there's some big drops of water about the size of a quarter right where John's putting his hand up there right now. Right opposite that tunnel light and opposite the end of the hatch handle. It's on the vertical portion of the hatch.
Right now, John has one of our absorbent towels and is mopping up the water around in that area on the hatch handle.
Roger. Okay, we're getting an outside view again.
Evan. Roger, as a matter of fact, I was just up in the tunnel feeling of that. That stuff on the outer hatch seal is not water, it's ice.
Roger, ice.
Okay, Gene is going to focus in on the moon there. I think he's got it. Over.
Roger.
Okay, like Tom did with the Earth, I've turned the moon over for you, and you're looking at the North Pole at the top, the east is to the right, and the south is to the bottom of your screen. You're looking at the main area that we were interested in as far as landing site operation is concerned, the dark area in the middle, the Maria. Sea of Tranquility, Sea of Fertility area. As I say, with the naked eye, this is still very plain and very visible. And this is full zoom on the lens. The relative size, again, at some... about 40,000 miles away, both the Earth, from the moon, about 45,000 miles away. Looks like about a... fills up the size of about a nickel at about 18 inches. So with that, we'll leave you, Apollo 10, from Tom, John, and Gene, saying we're proud to be here, we're proud to represent so many people back there, It's been a pleasure. It's been hard work, but it's been a tremendous challenge, and we're looking forward to completing a successful landing, and thank you all again.
Roger, Apollo 10. We're looking forward to having you all back in about 2 days here. We're standing by.
Roger, Bruce.
Duration of that transmission was 29 minutes 5 seconds.
Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, Roger. You've heard our report how we feel healthy and very hearty up here. Just want to report on how our boss is doing, going through the same simulation with the food on the ground. Over.
Stand by a second. The boss just walked out. To go eat, we
probably walked out. He's probably about half sick.
What'd you say, Houston?
Roger, we speculate he went out to eat. He came over here to watch the pass, and I guess as a secondary objective to find out whether you all were inserting a meal in the flight plan for today or not.
He has some other conveniences to go with that food that we don't have that might make it taste better.
Roger.
The boss is Donald K. Deke Slayton, Director of Flight Crew Operations. Mrs. John Young at the time the crew asked for a status report from him. I believe he's coming into the control center now and will probably talk to the crew very shortly.
Houston, Apollo 10. Over.
Go ahead, 10.
Roger, for the GNN Water Delta V, want to reconfirm that the yaw angle is 060 degrees. Over.
Stand by.
You know, Houston, if it's 060 degrees, according to the book, on one of these burns, you got to realign the platform. That's too close to the middle gimbal. Over.
Roger, we don't want you to have to do that, so we'll waive the 060 bit. Uh, Dan Houston, correction there. We will waive the platform realignment and use yaw of 060.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Dan Houston.
Go ahead, Houston.
Roger, I understand you wanted a food report from the 1G test sample down here.
Roger, I said, well, we're doing real good up here. Deke can feel real healthy. Wonder how you were surviving down there on it, over.
I'm surviving real well, except I'm starving to death. That hydrogen up there must be real filling.
It is. I guess that's the only factor that that you're missing there, boss, because this water really seems to fill you up, over.
Yeah, we saved some weight on food that way.
All right, good reducing diet. Also, I guess our total BTUs per day is probably a little bit less, particularly after that rendezvous day here, as far as our movements and everything. And when we start to use the Exergeny right away, we build up a heat load that 5 PSI can't circulate out very well, over.
Right, I expect that's true.
Houston, Apollo 10, again, I mentioned earlier today, and I guess it got relayed on to you, that we're still itching quite a bit from all the insulation that we got in here from the tunnel hatch, and say, at least after that microbiology, the next thing we want to do after we get aboard the carrier is going to be to take a shower, over.
Roger, got that message, Tom, and the medics are shaking their head. Yes, that sounds like a reasonable plan to them.
Okay, real good. I wish we had a camera going inside. It looked like three people scrambling around in a snowstorm here when that vent valve was opened up there. And the same way over in Snoopy. Snoopy was completely covered with a snowstorm, but we got it fairly well policed up. But it still is settling around all over. And so we've taken care of it the best we can, but I think that's the best way to get rid of the rushes we have, over. There's no problem, but we just want to shower as soon as we get out.
Dan,
keep
Houston.
Cleaning the inflow valve out at regular intervals.
Roger, have you tried using the wet wipes? Do they help any?
Oh, yeah. We've taken about the best type of shower we can and all the skin treatment and everything else, and we keep cleaning the inflow valve to the ECS system at least three or four times a day. They're still just fine fibers and lint from the fiberglass in there, but we've got everything under hand, but meanwhile, we just itch a little bit, over.
Roger, we copy, and we'll work on lining up some showers for you.
Okay, thank you now.
At 153 hours, 10 minutes, Apollo 10's distance from the Earth is 166,366 nautical miles. Velocity 5,036 feet per second.
Houston, Apollo 10, you can relay on to Deke that we are going to eat another meal before we go to bed, over.
Roger, he's here listening.
Roger, got that message. I'll start mixing
it
up right now.
Tell him not to get hungry down there. Okay, real good, dude.